The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
In the first half of this sermon, which was preached back in 2013 around Christmas time, we learned a little bit about Joseph, the earthly stepfather of Jesus. We saw that he was an humble man, and even though he had a kingly pedigree, he was just a regular citizen of Judea at this point in history. He was a carpenter, not a king or a priest. Join us today as we continue to learn important lessons from the life of Joseph.
Joyful, joyful!
He had an humble heart. Now, I'm sure he was offended, but you know, when you have an humble heart, even when you're offended, you tend to think, well, it's only what I deserve. I'll never forget Brother Lonnie Mazingo's message here not too long ago when he said he was talking about how we react as children of God and how he struggled with some one particular person. He was telling us that he was struggling with him because this person was inordinately persecuting him. But he said this, and don't you forget it, children of God. It's a pretty good statement to remember. He said, if I think I'm a rug and you treat me like one and walk on me, then what's the problem? You know, my problem is I don't think I'm a rug. You see, I think I deserve better treatment than this. I'm somebody. I don't offend me because I'll lash back at you because I don't deserve it. But if you realize in humility what you really are, and apparently Joseph did, then he didn't lash out. He didn't get offended. He didn't go doing the things he even had a right to do. We're told that Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. See, Joseph was her husband already at this time. And at this point, he's realized that this woman he's married is already with child, and he would have had every right to put her away, to divorce her, make her a public example. And I'd have been tempted to do that. He was probably tempted to do that. But he was a just man. He was a man of an humble heart. We're told that word just there means, by the way, righteous, observing divine and human laws. It means one who is such as he ought to be. Now let me rewind to something I said earlier. I told you earlier that the parents of Jesus, the earthly parents of Jesus, were no different than anybody else. They were sinners saved by grace. But now, on the other hand, let me throw this out there for you to consider. Do you think that God in heaven would have entrusted the rearing of his son to a man like Nabal, who was the fool, who was over in the time of David, when King David sent his servants over to this man's vineyard and said, "Give us something to eat. We've been protecting your folks." And he just brushed them off. And his poor wife, Abigail, had to go and smooth things over. And she said, and Nabal, the word Nabal means fool. And she told David, said, as his name is, so is he. He is a fool. And ultimately Nabal had a stroke or something and died, and Abigail married David. You remember that man? You know? Think about any of the other foolish men of the Bible. Think about Samson. You know, Samson's a big, strong man. We think, well, a father ought to be strong. A father ought to be able to fight people off. Well, that's true. He should be able to. But I'm telling you, strength is nothing compared to wisdom and righteousness. You think he would have entrusted the rearing of his son to Samson? What about Jonah, who was a great prophet now? No doubt he was a prophet, but Jonah was unfaithful. Jonah said, "God, I know you want me to go preach to the Ninevites, but I'm not going to do it because I don't like them. I do not like these folks. My passions rise up within me when I think about them. You're just going to forgive them. You're going to convert them back to you, and I'm not going to go do this. I'm going to be disobedient." You think God's going to entrust the rearing of his son here on this earth to someone like that? My point, brothers and sisters, is that as we try to preach all the time, the eternal destiny of God's children is in his hands. Their eternal righteousness is in his hands. But your daily walk means something. Your daily walk matters, not for eternal purposes, but for the blessings you enjoy. Do you think God is going to entrust you with a big task, with an important duty, if you're not being faithful in your life? You see, Joseph here was a just man, which means he was a righteous man. He lived in a righteous way. He lived as we would call him a good man today, a good, humble man. He loved his wife. He kept the commandment of God that hadn't even been written yet, that said, "Husbands, love your wives," because he said he didn't want to make her a public example. He obviously loved Mary. This wasn't some forced marriage. I don't know how it was arranged, but obviously there was more to it than just the contract here. And that's the way, by the way, our marriages ought to be. It ought to be more than just a contract. We've been preaching a series on the family, and husbands, you're to love your wives. Do you love your wife as much as Joseph loved his? Well, that's not the standard. The standard is loving our wives as Christ loved the church. But, you know, that's a pretty good example, is it not? In a time when he had every right to embarrass her and to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away privately and to not cause her this embarrassment. He loved her. His heart was no doubt broken when he found out that she was with child, because he didn't understand all the details yet. I'm sure she told him, but you know, my goodness, what kind of story is that? You know, you think about when your wife comes to you and she says, "Hey, I'm expecting a child, and it's not your child, it's of the Holy Ghost." And you know, my response is, "Yeah, right." That's a good story. You know, I've known people that I've prosecuted before that could lie just like that, you know, and make it sound so believable. That's what he's thinking here. Yeah, right. But he still loves her. As heartbroken as he may have been, and he was minded to put her away privately. But then it says, verse 20, while he thought on these things. You notice he was a man of, he was a thinking man. He didn't just go out and react. He pondered it. He meditated upon it because he was an humble man. He wanted to do the right thing. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I can just imagine the relief that this man felt when this gospel was preached to him. You see, that is the gospel, by the way. This gospel was preached to him, and you know what the gospel does? It relieves burdens. I'm sure that Joseph was burdened because of what had happened and the facts and circumstances. And then the gospel was preached to him saying, not only in just theory, Joseph, right here before you is the living gospel. This woman who is your wife, who you think wrong of right now, and you're minded to put her away because you don't believe what she's telling you. I'm telling you, Joseph, as Gabriel the angel, or this angel that comes here, says unto him, Joseph, you don't have to be afraid. That's what the gospel tells us. We don't have to be afraid. It's not about our works. It's not about our good living. It's not about our bad living. It's about Jesus Christ's perfect life. And the gospel came and he says, she's going to have a son. This son is of the Holy Ghost. And this son is going to save his people from their sins. The gospel came and relieved him of that burden. This just man who was seeking it. Now there are many today, even children of God, who will not listen to the gospel. They're too caught up in their daily lives. They're too fearful of the things around them. They're too stressed about all this going on. But this man, Joseph, was a good man. He was a just man. He was thinking about these things. And the gospel came and relieved him of his burdens. This man, Joseph, I can just feel the relief in his heart because I felt that relief when I understood what Jesus had done for me. And I'm, you know, I can imagine Joseph waking from that dream and saying, my goodness, you know, I didn't understand all the things that the rabbi has been teaching me. I didn't ever understand everything I've been reading. I read about where Adam was told in the garden that there was going to be some seed of the woman come. And this seed of the woman, which is foolishness, really, I didn't understand the seed of the woman. We don't talk about the seed of the woman. We talk about the seed of the man. But it's the seed of the woman that's going to come and bruise the head of the serpent. And I read about where when they left the garden on that terrible day, that worst day of all history, when the Lord clothed them, they tried to clothe themselves and they couldn't do it. They had fig leaves that dry up when the sun comes out, but the Lord clothed them in the skin of an animal. Something had to die. An innocent animal had to die to clothe them. It's coming together now. I see what's happening here. This is not my child. This is her child of the Holy Ghost. And this gospel message came. And you know, I'm glad he didn't leave it to chance. He didn't say, she's going to have a child and you'll call his name Jesus and he's going to do the best he can to save his people. No, he shall save his people from their sins. Praise God for that gospel message. Joseph, no doubt, rejoiced. Now, this just man, Joseph, we see something else about him that's important, I believe. He was a family man. He was a family man. You know, I told you earlier, God didn't just entrust the rearing of his son to anybody out there that didn't have a faithful heart or wasn't interested in the things that the Lord had been teaching for centuries and generations. Everywhere you look, in Matthew 2, for example, in verse 14, in verse 13, we're told that the angel appeared to Joseph and said, you've got to leave. You've got to go. We're going to see that he was a faithful man too. But when he left, it says, when he arose in verse 14, he took the young child and his mother by night. Over in Luke chapter 2, Luke, this famous story that we hear read so often around this time of the year, it's in Luke chapter 2 and verse 4, we're told that Joseph also, during this census, went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now listen, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. That was a difficult journey. He might could have done it on his own. He might could have gone down there by himself and left her to have this child somewhere at home. But, you know, he was faithful to his family. He was a family man. He felt that he should keep this family together. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 16, I want you to notice what the shepherds found when they came to the manger. It says, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Joseph wasn't out doing his thing. He wasn't out away with the boys. He wasn't off doing something else. That he was right where he should have been with his wife and new child, right there taking care of them, focusing upon them. He was a family man. And everywhere we read about Joseph, he's with his family. Everywhere we read about him, when they go down to Jerusalem to worship, when Jesus is 12, it's Joseph and Mary and the child. They're always together. And he was known for this. You remember where we started this morning in Matthew 13, verse 55? They asked, is not this the carpenter's son? See, they knew Joseph, and they knew that he was a family man, and his mother's called Mary, and his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters. Are they not all with us? Joseph was alive at this time. Joseph was here at this time. They're all with him here at this time. You see, they're together as a family. He was a family man, and he was a faithful man. Joseph was a faithful man. He was faithful to God's word. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 22, we're told that when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they, not she, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. I want to tell you fathers something today. And I appreciate each one of you here. And I want you to never forget this. And you young men that are going to be fathers, it's not enough to send your children to church. You need to bring them. They brought him. They didn't send him. They didn't send him down to the house of worship. They brought him to do that. When you're a father, if you're a young man here today and one day you're a father, you need to remember that you need to be bringing your children to church, not sending them. Bring them. Joseph was a faithful man. Luke 2:27. Says he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents, this is talking about Simeon here, when the parents both brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, then he took him up and this had this great encounter. See, they were down there to worship. They weren't down there to conduct business. They weren't down there to transact commerce. They were there to worship God. He was a faithful man. In verse 39, it says, when they, the parents, including Joseph, had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Joseph was a faithful man. And then in verse 41, it didn't end there. It said, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. They didn't miss church. They didn't miss the house of worship. They didn't say, I'm too busy. They didn't say, the crops are in. We need to be doing something else. They were there doing that which they were supposed to be doing. Every year they went to do this. He was faithful to the word of God. But he was also faithful to God's leading in his life. You know, can you imagine what might have happened? Now, we know that the Lord protected his son, but he used Joseph to do it. Can you imagine what would have happened back in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13 after these wise men came and they left? It says, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, as I said, I know the Lord was going to protect his son. But can you imagine how different the narrative would read if Joseph had awakened from the dream and said, look, I'm too busy, and this isn't my child anyway. I've got too much going on. I'm not able at this point to just pick up and go. But you see, Joseph was faithful to the leading of God in his life. I've had those struggles myself. I know you have. There are times when it's a whole lot easier to stay where I am than to pick up and move to the place where the Lord wants me to be. That's true of where you live. That's true of where you go to church. That's true of what you're doing in your job or business or wherever it may be. It's hard to do. And it wasn't easy for him to do, because look what he says. When he arose, he didn't wait. He didn't, it said when he arose, he thought about it for a week or two. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Can you imagine the whirring around that they were doing in the house there that night after this dream? And they're going on the basis of Joseph's dream here. He said, flee, and he got up and he went immediately. How many of us have ever gotten up at night to go do the will of the Lord? You know? I mean, think about it. I always want to wait on the morning at least, you know. I always say, oh, I'm too tired now. Are we ready and willing to go? He was faithful to the Lord's leading in his life. And then we told down in verse 19, when Herod was dead, an angel appeared to him again and sent him home. You know what all this did too? It all fulfilled the prophecies of God in the birth of Christ. So he was being faithful to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, he was fulfilling what God had spoken about the birth of his son. Sometime back, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I guess what got me to thinking along these lines about Joseph is we went to a play at Shelton that the Shelton singers were singing during this play. And it's called The Forgotten Carols. And there was a song in that play that was written from Joseph's perspective and sung by one of the characters from Joseph's perspective. And one of the lines in that song struck me so much. And it said, this is Joseph speaking as if he were speaking. For how could one so foolish and so flawed ever hope to raise the Son of God? And then he spoke of the misgivings that he had 1,000 times. And it went on to tell us a little bit more about this supposed encounter that this writer had with Joseph. You think about that, beloved. Think about the misgivings. Think about the overwhelming nature of the task that Joseph had to be the earthly stepfather to the Son of God. He'd been told that this was the Christ child, but being a man, I'm sure he doubted. John the Baptist, who was the greatest that's ever been born of a woman, according to Jesus, even he doubted. Even he doubted. So he was greater even than Joseph. I'm sure Joseph doubted. I wonder, though, being a religious man, familiar with the scriptures, if it ever started to come together in his mind. I don't know if he lived to the time of the crucifixion or not, but you know, he could look back at the prophecies fulfilled, at the evidences that this is the Christ child, that this is the promised Messiah. When he was overwhelmed, did he go back to Isaiah 43 and read about how the Lord would say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you go through the waters, they'll not overwhelm you. When you go through the fire, it'll not burn you. Do you reckon he ever read the 61st Psalm where David wrote, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. In times when I'm overwhelmed, I need to be led to the rock. Well, as we close this morning, I want to say this. There's nothing in the Word of God that's just written there for no good reason. I don't know all the details. There's a lot of questions that I want to ask when I get to heaven. But in Mark, the 6th chapter, you know, we read in the 13th chapter that Jesus was the carpenter's son. But in Mark chapter 6, in another account of another time when they began to question him, in verse 3, they asked this question, talking about Jesus, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? You know, as a father, I can't imagine any greater compliment that my son could pay me than to say, I want to be like you. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. Jesus had no need to be like his earthly father. He had no need to be improved upon in any way. He had no need even for the example that his earthly father set. But there's a reason that things are in the Word of God. Jesus was a carpenter, like his stepfather, Joseph. I wonder if that's not the greatest compliment that the Holy Spirit, that God the Father, that God the Son could pay to this man, Joseph, who was overwhelmed with the job that we're all overwhelmed with, of raising children in the first place. And here I am entrusted with the very rearing of the earthly human Son of God. I trust that we'll be encouraged by the example of Joseph, that in times of overwhelming trial and overwhelming problems, we can look to God. If he can do it, if Joseph can do it, I can do it.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.